Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, Blog Talk listeners. Thank you so much for joining my sister, my friend, tonight. We are so glad that you have tuned in. We want to let you know that we appreciate you joining us tonight, and we have a very good topic for you. But first of all, we would like our panel to go ahead and shout out to their prospective organizations and companies and pastors. And go ahead, let me bring you all in. I'm sorry, we get to get you in here. Go ahead, Minister Henderson, and shout out to your people.
All right. Good evening. This is Pastor Henderson of Hope and Glory Fellowship, Hope and Glory Fellowship in Garland, Texas, as well as the founder and CEO of Ashes of Beauty Ministries. Just giving everybody a great shout out, and thank you for joining us on tonight.
Thank you. Beverly, go ahead and shout out to your people.
Good evening, everyone. I hope everyone will be listening and calling in with questions. And we're going to have a great and exciting topic tonight.
Thank you. Carol, go ahead and give a shout-out to your folks.
Hi, everyone. Hi, my sister, panel of sisters, and hi, everyone, and all our sisters in Christ. Good evening tonight. Holland, come on in and join in with us. We're going to have a good time tonight.
Amen. Thank you. And I want to give a shout-out to the Mighty Shady Grove Primitive Baptist Church in the big city of Joppa,
Amen.
Texas, where our pastor is Elder Michael Morgan Sr., who will be celebrating his anniversary on this month, the 23rd and 24th of March. Thank God for
Amen.
It. We'll give you the information to our activities at the end of the show, but hello all of my sisters and brothers from Shady Grove. First of all, I want to give you the call-in number if you are listening by cyberspace or if you're on the line. Give this number to everyone else you know, 310-982-4126. Call us and join us tonight and give us your comments and questions, and we want to hear from you. Now I would like to go ahead and tell you that we're going to be a little political tonight. We're going to tell you some things about voting and why it's important for us to vote as women, and just get into our show with Sister Carol. Carol, go ahead.
Good evening, everyone. Good evening, everyone. I'm particularly excited tonight to talk about the power of the female vote and just how important it is for us women to get in there and to flex our political muscle. And no matter where you come from, no matter what walk of life, what level of education, what socioeconomic background you come from, you have a right to, if you have a right to vote, you have the power to choose who is running the state, the country, the city, whatever the case may be. And so, and the reason why this is so important tonight is tomorrow, the primary election takes place for the governor of Texas race that's going on. And as we all know, that vote is between Mr. Abbott, who is our current attorney general, and then Wendy Davis running against him, Greg Abbott, in the state of Texas. That primary takes place tomorrow, and a primary is just an election that where a group, where a political party nominates their candidate for the upcoming general election, basically. That's all that is. So we're going to wind it down. Basically, everybody knows it's probably going to be between Greg Abbott and Wendy Davis. It's a tough race, and it's, you know, it's already getting a little dirty in out there, but again, it's a good time. We just got to remember how, we'll talk a little bit quickly about how important it is. We know that the passage of the 19th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution in 1920 gave women the right to vote. Now, it's kind of a thing that's a trend here, in that initially the white woman wanted to vote and she couldn't. But right after the Civil War, they gave the black man the right to vote first. So it appears that the male dominance of this thing called politics is what leads the way. So before they would give any woman, be it black or white, the right to vote, they had to give it to the men first. So the black men got the right to vote first, and then women got the right to vote. And as it goes, in our presidential election here, we had to elect maybe an African-American black man to our presidency before we can look at thinking about getting Hillary into the office coming up in the next presidential election. Now, that said, again, we just need to think about, you know, how powerful it is and how important it is for us to use our voting muscle, because there are a lot of issues on the table that that concern us, that's important to us. And, you know, we need to have our say-so about who can say what we can do and what we can't do with our bodies, and people who have issues that are important to us, like Winnie Davis, who has the issue of education on the forefront of her platform, so that we can see how we can improve our schools. You know, y'all know we had the last governor, you know, I try not to even think of his name, but he, a lot of times he would always sit up and talk about how we always had a surplus in Texas, where mm-hmm. our schools, look, are debilitated and our children are getting the best education here, and Winnie Davis is making that, you know, a large part of her platform. But where he would thought we always had we had this surplus, I'm like, well, if we got a surplus, then where are the books at? Where are the schools, the new buildings and things? And it dawned on me, we're not spending no money on our education for our children instead of Texas. We're spending money on prisons. And that's
correct.
They're sending our children. And so, you know, now he's going to get out of office and he's going on his way. Good riddance, happy trail to you. But now we got the opportunity to maybe get someone in office. So that's the basis of what we want to talk about tonight. And maybe some of you ladies want to talk about what's important, what might be important to you in as far as women voting rights go. If you've looked at Winnie Davis as a candidate versus Mr. Greg Abbott. And this is not just about, you know, a Democratic vote. If you be about any conservatives out there, come on in, Independents, Tea Party, whatever party you're in these days, it doesn't matter, ladies. Just get out there and do your thing to vote whatever you stand for and whatever you stand on. It's just important to you. You know, go out there and voice and use your voice with that pulling the power of the level of the vote. So that's kind of what we want to talk about tonight. And so I'll just pose a question to the panel real quick. And just say, you know, to you, why would you think it's important for you to vote? Why would you think your vote was important in the past election, or why do you think it's important for you to vote today?
We can all go ahead. Whoever wants to speak first. Beverly? Okay.
Well, the reason that the right to vote is important for me today, as it was when I first started voting, is to hopefully with my vote and other votes, we can affect a change in areas that really need to have changes made in, such as rights of people, everyone getting human rights, everyone being treated equally, and women being treated in the job market with the same values that the men have, the same benefits, the same pay. But it's important for us to stand. That's the only way that you can stand and make a change in the country is by voting. When you choose not to vote, then you should say that you really don't care about what happens in the country and you're not really concerned about it. But then you're the first one. Usually that's the first people that have something to say, but they didn't have the time to vote. So you have to decide if you want to fight for your human rights and fight for equal pay and fight for health care, then you have to get up and you have to listen to the issues and you have to stand on that one thing that you have that's strong enough, and that's your voice. And through that voice of the election booth, we can make changes in this country, and women can too, but we don't usually stand together long enough to do it because we become divided by other issues that really don't affect us. And the media plays up to us all the scandalous parts about one nominee as opposed to another, and we don't really go back and look at the voting rights and the issues that person have fought for. So it's important for all of us, but particularly for women, to start standing up and voting for the issues as opposed to the person's lifestyle and the way that they look and the way that they appear on the screen. Oftentimes when you go back and look at that person's voting record or the way they live their life can determine a lot about how they'll vote when they get into the office.
Mm-hmm. Okay, wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Henderson?
I agree with Ms. Beverly. It is important to have a voice. And as she forestated many times in times past when we have not voted, and I must say we because there have been times in years when I did not, as I have within the last, 20 years. But it is important. And then when things don't go your way, the empty wagon is the one that always makes the most noise. So those would be those that fail to vote or to take our time to vote. I think I'm finding the hardest thing is to feel the moral values, Ms. Carol, what they stand for, what they live for, and what they believe. Because the political arena has become, for lack of a better word, so vile. it's really almost impossible to decide who to vote for. So I'm finding that it takes a lot of prayer, and I'm noticing that the men that are running, they don't have a problem telling us what they think a woman should do with her body because it's not their body. And when it's not you, it's easy to say what I would do.
Yeah.
So I agree with Ms. Carol as well as Ms. Beverly. Women, if you're not a registered voter, please register so that you may vote. Mothers, as you have grandchildren and young adult women, whether in your home, your church, or on your job, let's push the importance of getting involved and educating ourselves about the political arena.
That is wonderful. And I think Minister Henderson and Sister Beverly hit on just two of the larger, issues that are on the forefront of all the women's rights issues, and that is equal rights in the workplace for women and reproductive rights about what we can and cannot do with our bodies. And Minister Henderson, you hit it right on the head. Like men, they can get right on in there. They'll vote and they'll get right on in there and tell us how, what we can and cannot do. And ain't nobody heading out crazy. Not a woman. And they're quick.
Exactly.
We can't have these babies or we can have these children, and then they'll turn around and then, some will say you can't have children, some say you can't have children, but then when people ask for help with the children, then nobody, want to call us welfare moms and things like that.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
They do impose a lot of what they feel about women and the misogynist that still exists, because there's a lot of that still goes on. And we women, we've come a long way, but we got to continue our fight. And with the vote, that's no way of doing it. But you're so right about that. We just got to stand strong and say, I'm going to go out here and vote because either I'm going to let this man go out here and vote for me or against me. And what we need, we think about things that are more important. In particular, there are women's issues. They're like our children and things like that. We want better for our children. And when you got men who's like Governor Rick Perry, who took all of them out of the education system, which is what Whitney Davis was talking about putting back into the system. For him, I guess it don't mean too much for him as to the importance of children. And the one who suffered the most of that are inner city minority children, Latino children, or poor white kids that are inner city.
Uh-huh.
Those are the ones most.
Well, Ms. Carol, I like what you just said. I guess he's not thinking. I found that when I became a mom, my thought process changed, and things that I was more vocal about, maybe someone else with children, I became less vocal about. In other words, I'm saying this to say this. You have to think about, if I say something against you or Deaconess Lewis or Miss Beverly, and you have children and I don't, I must remember one day I may have children.
Right.
Okay, so now that I have children, as well as two grandkids, I even think before I speak. Why am I saying that? As you said on Rick Perry, he's want all these things done, give him a shot for this APC, but he's not thinking about his daughters, his granddaughters, his great-granddaughters, his great-grand... he's not thinking about his lineage. I understand his mindset because, remember, when men think, they decompartmentalize their thought process.
Mm-hmm.
A woman, we're 50 years up the road.
See?
So he's not thinking about his granddaughters, his great-granddaughters, his great-great-granddaughters. He's thinking about right here, right now.
That's the truth right there. And it's so very true. I mean, you said a mouthful right there. I mean, that is exactly what we're talking about. And they don't think about that. And even from their own families, but we think about our,
yes,
young men and our young girls that can do so much more. And why should we be in the workplace working twice as hard, if not harder, coming up with all ideas while the
mm-hmm.
men take the credit and get paid way more than we do? This year, oh,
yes,
for, you know, of us are head of households these days,
mm-hmm.
and we are the breadwinners these days, but yet I'm doing the same job you're doing, but I'm going to get paid less, and he gets
right.
paid all the money. As if, like, I mean, I get it that I think the ideology was that men were supposed to, as head of household, and they supposed to care for everything, then they need to make more money, but now that they're not the only ones who's head of household anymore. Now we're head of household.
Exactly.
So we need to make money, and they do.
Mm-hmm.
Because,
you know, a lot of the other cultures are going into the Mr. Mom thing.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
Where the wives are making more money than the husbands. So instead of that income going on daycare, husband, you come home and you take care of the children, and I'll go out and bring home the bacon. And that works. And, you know, if it works for you, that's fine.
Yeah.
If that mm-hmm. works for your household, that's fine.
Yeah.
Because everything
yeah.
does not work for every household.
Yeah. And that's the truth.
You know,
and
but a lot of cultures are going into the Mr. Mom thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Beverly touched on something about, you know, us being divided in this thing
yes.
as women. I mean, there are a lot of things I guess women can be divided over, but what
mm-hmm.
they don't know is, well, together and with a vote, I mean, we can change some things. We can affect change in so many ways. And
right.
whether I'm blown away about sometimes, you know, just to be a conservative woman. I mean, like, I, you know, people, and I don't mind saying I'm a liberal, you know, or whatever, because I tell people all the time, you know what, Jesus Christ gave his life for our sins, and if that ain't liberal, I don't know what is. And so I don't look at liberal as being a bad word. Some people just like,
exactly.
oh, my God, word,
mm-hmm.
but I ain't at it, you know, because like I said, it don't get no more liberal than that. He gave his life
right.
for our,
right.
you know, and so in doing so, but if some of these conservative women will sit up and partner with these men and say, you know, to your point, the most vile things, and get out there and side with them and say things that you just be looking at them like, are you a woman or not? Are you with us or not? Do you have that DNA that causes a woman? Because you left the field. So, I mean,
right.
the thing about that is, you know, it doesn't matter what part of her career, like, if you're a mom, if you know anything about being a woman, you know, if you ever
mm-hmm.
been looked over, and it's been given to a man just because he's a man, or if you are struggling to be the head of your household, then you must know how important that you know, if I need to go out and vote for a candidate that's going to hear what I'm talking about and do what I need to do to affect change. And then I'm glad the president is addressing, you know, he just recently did that My Brother's Keeper, where he's addressing,
right.
you know, black men in this country. We as mothers and as women who have it, we know what that's about. And if we got to be women who stand up and vote against and with Trayvon Martin's mom and other ladies
mm-hmm.
about our young males who can't walk down the street eating Skittles and drinking a Snapple for fear
uh-huh.
of being suspicious and being gunned down, I think that
right.
that's another area where we women can stand together strong. We may not can't stand together on every issue, but I believe there's
exactly.
a lot of issues.
Exactly.
Well, I have a question. I want was wondering the is it more is it be, during this election? Let me put it like this: do we need more Democratic, more liberal, more Republican in office for what the women need, or who's carrying those votes? I mean, who's carrying those issues that we are concerned about, like the equal pay for equal rights on the job and the education wise, or are they split between the Democrats or the Republicans or the liberals? Where do you see that?
They're finding that in civil liberties, they're finding out that more times women vote from a more liberal standpoint than men do. You find more men who will vote more from a conservative point than women do, and they're finding that to be the case because issues like reproductive rights, what a woman can and cannot do with her body, can she abort if she has a baby, can she not, even if she was raped, can she do that abortion, and those types of things, that comes from the liberal side of things. Equal pay for women, giving women more money in terms, a lot of conservatives believe that, no, we don't need more money, and two, we need to be back in the house, barefoot and pregnant where we belong. Like, a lot of them truly still believe that issue, that even to the point of presidency where they say that women can't hold certain offices or be in charge at work because of we're too emotional and we don't know how to control ourselves and we're too emotional and, we don't have to stay in control and whatnot. And y'all know that old adage where when we assert ourselves, if we're being assertive, then we're a B. But if a man is being assertive, he's being aggressive, then he's, he's a professional, that double-edged sword. And then the fact that girls are fighting to get into areas of study where mostly are male-dominated fields that have to do with the math and sciences. Well, there are scientists out there who are saying that girls are just not able to do that. They're just not smart at math and science. That we're not intellectually as capable as the male population to do those things. And because the issues that are important to us tend to fall on the liberal side, we do tend to vote from a more liberal standpoint than, say, conservative.
Okay. Do we have a lot of liberal candidates that we can vote for?
Do we have a liberal candidate that we can vote for?
Uh-huh. For our issues and the things that we're mostly concerned about in Dallas. Okay.
Yeah, right here in the state of Texas, Winnie Davis is a great candidate for governor. And if people had, as for people out there who, kind of shy away from politics and things of that nature, it's a soft spot for some people that don't want to talk because they fear that we'll get into a disagreement. I mean, I think it's okay to agree to disagree about some things. I got lots of conservatives. You get along just fine. And we find out, if you sit in there and talk to them, sometimes you find out you got a little bit more in common than they do because they'll find out that we're not saying give away the farm. We're saying we're not looking for a handout. We're looking for a hand up. So we're not saying we want them to give us everything. We're just saying give us an opportunity. We'll do the work. It's not a problem. But the reason why I do think Winnie Davis is a good candidate because she comes from a mom who was a single-parent mom who raised her and a half, and then she herself became a single parent herself. And so she can talking about somebody who can relate to where we're coming from as a woman, and then they had the nerve to get real dirty about her, like I said, she was raised by a single mom, and she began to work at 18 just to help support her mom and her three brothers and sisters. And then by the time she was 19, she was on her way to become a single mother and working two jobs to make it meet. And so they started attacking her and saying, oh, that little story she gives about being a single mom. She lived in a trailer park and talking about, well, the trailer was real nice. I mean, they just tried to water down her experience, her life experience. Well, she wasn't that poor, and then she married a guy with money, so what's the problem? Like, what's your point that she married a guy with money?
Something just to try to bring her down. Make her look bad.
She's from Texas, and she was she ran a business in Fort Worth, and she served 9 years on the Fort Worth City Council. And then for the City Economic Development Committee. But also, she was the one in 2011 who stood up and filibustered a budget that slashed over 5 billion jobs from our public schools. She's the one that stood up and said, and had them sitting up there waiting, and then girl, she did it in style, high heels and all.
All right.
You know what I'm saying? And she did her
thing. She did a beautiful job.
did a beautiful job of that. And, again, she loves Texas, not for, you know, and she just stands there and she says, I know where you're coming from, and I wanted to put back the money that Governor Rick Perry took out of our school. I want to put that money back into it. I want to fight for equal opportunity for women in the workplace. You know, the very things that we're talking about tonight, that's exactly what she said. She wants to improve public schools by reducing the number of standardized tests students are forced to take, and by negotiating a living increase for retired teachers in more than a decade. And then she also is trying to champion things like a strong economy, you know, for Texas. And again, Rick Perry, I always talked about the surplus. When I remember when they were doing, when President Obama was offering it, these stipends for these states, and he was, oh, we don't need it. We have a surplus. And I keep on asking, well, where is that money?
Where is it? Yeah.
You know, where is it? Because I've seen some schools in the inner city, I mean, and it's a pitiful shame. It's a shame when kids don't have books. We don't have, they don't have the modern, up-to-date computers that the children need these days to work with. Mm-hmm. I mean, if we got a surplus, then what are we doing with it? And really, the reality is, y'all, that guy was around forever because Texas didn't have a limit on how long you can be governor of Texas. And so Rick Perry was around a very long time, girl, way too long. It's all about the open network where you had to know somebody who knows somebody behind closed doors, and ain't nobody wasn't getting nothing out of it but conservative Texas politicians and, you know, old school money back in the day, old boys network, now ain't no
old boys. Yeah, the good old boys,
And so for as far as that is concerned, and then she also has on her platform that she wants to work to make sure that veterans and service members and their families are provided for every opportunity for a quality education. That comes with college tuition exemptions and more college counselors available to help veterans and help to support them as they come home from the war and whatnot. And you got in front of them, that's a big thing with me. Like, it everyday people run to sign up, carry no gun, and run toward the enemy. I know I ain't that one. So, you know, I ain't that one.
I'm with you.
Amen. Okay, well, I wanted to find out also, well, what do you think about the rich and famous that have all the money? Can they basically run the elections, or do you think that the popular vote runs it, or how do you determine who may be able to win these elections? Is it the people with the money, or is it the voters?
A good question right there. The truth be told, like they say, you want to know where to go, where the going's on, then follow the money. And the reality is, you know, nowadays, Obama has had the most outstanding, the most innovative campaign, grassroots campaign that ever was. In fact, now that's the blueprint for how you win an office and run an office and raise money these days, because he went back to the old school of doing it to pass the hat. So back in the day when he did his campaign, when he went online, first of all, he was modern day. He went online and built up these websites. And to this day, even with Wendy Davis, she's doing the same thing Obama doing. You cannot sit back and say she's a wealthy, can donate to the fund for Wendy Davis' campaign. You can donate $3 on her campaign website if you want to be a part of contributing to that in a financial way. It is not a donor that's too small or too large that could help to support their candidate if you want to financially by hitting the $3 button on her website. And Obama has the same buttons to this day, and that is how we're raising the money. By and large, those who spend the most money can have the most exposure with the more campaigns that are run, the more getting the word out. So money does affect that type of change. The popularity with the stars and stuff, that worked for Obama because that image thing was he was fresh and new. He had a bunch of young,
young blood.
That was speaking for him. I don't want to say anything too negative about the conservative party, but I swear it's a bunch of, I just dried out old ideologies. You know, they just want to keep things the same old way, like just don't talk
about
change. scared of change. Scared of change.
Yeah, scared of change. And then they think, I'm in agreement with that, and I think that they are scared that the black will come into the majority and make them a minority, because the conservatives usually are of the other persuasion, you know, white people, okay?
Right.
I'm just going to put it out there like that.
Uh-huh.
And they're scared, to me, that if we get too much power, we'll just take over, and that's not what they they can't handle that. In 2014, as well as they didn't handle it years and years ago. So I think that would be probably one of the most scariest things for them, too, because if we get more power than them, then, you know, it won't be right.
Right.
Not
in we'll become the majority.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. We will become the majority. So that's the reason why I'm talking tonight with you ladies about our power in becoming voters and going ahead and standing up for what we believe in and our rights.
Okay.
And ladies, if you're listening tonight at 310-982-4126, give us a call with any questions that you might have about this issue or any comments that you might have about any of the candidates. Let us know what you think. We'll be more than happy to accommodate your comment or question. We're talking politics tonight about the candidates that we need to vote on or we need to support. So give us a call at 310-982-4126. I see we have a new caller that has joined us. Caller, would you like to have a comment or question?
No, not at this time.
Okay, well, thank you for joining us anyway. We appreciate your support tonight. Is there any other questions that our panel has for Carol or any other comments that anybody would like to make?
Well, Host Lewis, I'd like to piggyback on something you had just said, that the conservative would think what they thought in years past, that we would one day become the majority.
Mm-hmm.
And I could see that on the rise for African-American men and women. But when you spoke it, the thing that dropped in my spirit, that the breaking of every chain, I see an army rising up.
Yes.
In the midst of the ashes, the disappointment, the letdown, the mistreatment, the misuse, the bitterness, the grudges, the envious, the strife, the things that has been endured that should not have ever happened.
All right.
But it has made us the nation of people in whom we are.
Amen.
So there is an army that's rising.
And you said something right, Minister Henderson, because I got to say, and never in my life, you know, and I ain't got no problems. I'm in my 40s. But never in my life have I ever seen a president come under such attack. And oh, my Lord Jesus, I just have never seen anything.
Yes.
Like, and we want to pray and have all these non-bullying programs and teach our children not to bully. But the biggest, ugliest bully in the public arena is these politicians that sit here. And like President, as he said himself, talk about me like a dog, which they do. And, you know, and talk about, like, how, and then but what I want to ask you ladies is how well do you think that the naysayers will be, you know, they attack President Obama, you know, him being an African-American man, you know, they'll do that, and I think people are more accepting of an attack on a man, but how well do you think they will do if Hillary Clinton is our next and our first woman president? Do you think that it will be as vile towards her being a woman? Because, you know, that's kind of, bad thing to do, especially for men to beat up on a woman. But then, again, she's a white woman, but yet she's a woman. So how well do y'all think they're gonna do with wanting to attack her should she become our next female president?
Go
ahead.
I believe that they're going to be very kind and favorable. For one reason, she's not a stranger to the political world. Mm-hmm. And then number two, you will have those that would try to, you know, stir the pot up, so to speak, with her being mm-hmm. a female to show that she can't handle her emotions and handle that type of power at the same time. But, you know, we already know that Hillary already ran the United States for 8 years already.
Already.
So for her to come and do it again, it's not a problem. It's a hands-down win-win. But I would like to go back to your first statement about President Obama and all the ridicule and all he's had to endure just since he's been in office. As you foresee, Ms. Carroll, you've never, ever seen a president be treated the way he's been treated. If you ever notice, they don't always call him president.
Yeah.
Barack Obama. And see, then what I learned, the authority that you won't respect, you'll never have a part of.
All right.
Right.
So regardless,
right.
His name is Barack Obama, but he's president.
Barack Obama
mm-hmm. or President Obama.
All right.
And he's not asking you to call him that. He's earned the right of the voters of the United States to be called that.
All right. And I believe I was, Ms. Henderson, reading the scripture not too, just the other night on the Bible instructs us to respect authority in
yes.
our leaders.
Uh-huh. That's right.
And yet, I gotta pose this question because y'all, this throws me out. Maybe somebody y'all can help me with this one right here because I really struggle and I just don't get it. So I'm gonna need y'all's help on. Pray with me. I'm gonna need y'all to help me on this one right here. A conservative, you know how we talk about oxymorons. To me, this is one of the greatest oxymorons. Conservative Christian. How are you conservative? Meaning, you know, give less than and be a Christian at the same time, trying to figure out how those two can coexist. If being conservative.
Go ahead.
What do you mean
you
when you say
right
give
one.
Less?
You got
you
the
know,
right
conservative
one on the phone for that one.
Yeah, conservative mean they whole ideology stands on less government, less handouts. You know, y'all always about us being handed something. We always they think we begging. Less handouts to the poor. Less help. Don't let them help themselves. You know, just like Romney said in that room back there, these people just won't wait on checks. You know, things like that. But he's a Mormon, big Mormon guy, kind of Christian sort
yes.
of person. But they
yes.
call themselves these conservative Christians, and I'm trying to understand how, you know, as Christians, that's all we taught is to give and to help
mm-hmm.
and to lift
mm-hmm.
up and empower, where a lot of times conservative ideologies and values and their approaches to things is less of that. Let, you know, they'll form a dependency on. Don't give them this. Don't give them that. You know, so they're just conservative about, they ain't into a whole bunch of giving. So how is it that there's a that's a title that a lot of them have, conservative Christian. Yeah.
Well, I feel a setup coming on, but I can look at that.
And you know, that's your question. You know that's your question. So go on, give it to them.
Carol, I love you, dude. I can't wait till we meet. There's two things that's stirring in my belly right about now. One, conservative being, that would be the fake Good Samaritan.
Fake Good Samaritan.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I heard you. Say it again.
Uh-oh.
Repeat.
That would be the fake Good Samaritan.
I'm going to get my answer. I'll get my pencil and paper.
Because if you think about it, when the people ran across the guy that had been robbed and beaten,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
the priest passed him,
mm-hmm.
conservative fake Good Samaritan, the Levite passed him,
wow.
the fake conservative Good Samaritan that a total stranger came by and had compassion.
Look at that.
Look at that.
Then we ma'am.
I said, that's the show, right? Shut down.
Then we can look at that conservative Christian from a different point of view.
Uh-huh.
If I'm conservative and don't understand giving and what Christ has done on the cross for me, then that means I lack in my teaching in the renewing of my mind.
Y'all don't give it to him.
So, for God so loved that he gave. But if I'm conservative, I'm only just love a little bit.
Okay.
Just a little bit.
Yes,
and that would make me be the one that I purpose in my heart, I'll never give over $5. But guess what? If that's all I can purpose, then guess what? My harvest is not going to be too much more different.
No, it won't.
All right, now.
So when you're talking about being conservative, I'm being serene. I have myself in a box of what I'm going to do and what I'm not going to do. And that's a person that's not willing to think outside the box, step outside the box, or even view life differently. Are they really living? No, they're really just existing. But they think they're living.
All right. Pastor Henderson.
Who said that?
Pastor Henderson?
Yes.
I'm here on the line with you tonight. This is Zandra McKim. I wanted to ask you a quick question. That person that has labeled themselves is a person that, will we say, that are only conditioning themselves only to a certain level?
Yes.
Okay.
It's where they have viewed themselves, and I'm not going any further.
Okay.
Even though God wants to broaden their territory, enlarge my territory, the Jabez prayer, but everybody don't want their territory enlarged. Some people are only concerned about me, myself, and I.
Okay.
And nobody else. Us four and no more. Hello?
That's it. Go ahead.
Us four, and no more. Mm-hmm. I'm only concerned about me and my household, nobody else.
And that type of thinking,
go ahead. Mm-hmm.
I was just gonna say, and that's not the Christian way. It ain't just about you, yourself, and your household. It's always about somebody else. It always should be what we call is love thy brother. Love yourself. That's what that's supposed to be about, but that comes back to that conservative Christian, me, myself, and I.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Okay,
remember, we're no longer under the law. We're under grace.
Okay.
All right.
So when Jesus came, he said, I didn't come to do away with the law. I came to fulfill the law. Why? Because no man could fulfill the law. So since he fulfilled it, he said, this is the new covenant in my blood that you love your neighbor as you love yourself. So if I'm conservative and I'm not going to go over the $5 foot loan, I don't love myself past that same $5.
All right.
And can't love my brother because I can't pass the brother. $5. Come on.
Okay. Now.
Come on.
I feel a setup in this house.
Right,
God, I thank you. I feel a setup. I should have just stayed on me.
Boy, that was good for me, Miss Hillis. Even Miss Hillis set it down, boy. That was good.
Okay.
See that? And let me tell you something. I got to say. This is the first time she done gave me my answer. I've been pondering that. And I just didn't know that. Well, how is that possible? And she just broke it down.
And remember, Miss Carol, I'm answering you from the point of view in which you ask.
Yes, ma'am.
Because there's many areas to a conservative Christian?
See, yes, ma'am.
You got modesty. You have purity. You have holiness. All of that falls under conservative, but that's under conservative lifestyle. You asked about conservative giving.
Yep.
As a man or woman of God. Yes, ma'am.
Yep. Told that thing.
Well,
she said that.
Yeah. So that meant if God came to me and asked me to sow $1,000 to a ministry, he already know I'm not going to do it. Because I've already purposed in my heart I'm not going over five. I told the church on Sunday, when God bless you, you have no idea how many shoulders he had to tap on till he got to somebody that say, yes, Lord, I'll do it. You don't know.
Amen.
But I promise you, it's never the first shoulder.
All right.
Amen.
All right.
That was good.
Just like
that
he, when he was picking them disciples and told them,
come on,
give, sell all your stuff and give it away and come follow me.
Yeah.
How many of them
Take
turned around?
Uh-huh.
How many of them went the other way? Say they were sad about it. I can't do it, Lord.
Yeah.
it ain't
let's go even farther. When he rose and told Mary to go tell his disciples that he's risen, meet me in the upper room. So it's been 500. How many showed? 120.
Okay. That's it.
See.
That
was
it. Because even if out of the 100, even if it was 120 and 20 and 50% of were conservative, didn't believe it, but at least they what? Showed up.
Showed up.
Huh. You had 380 to say that's impossible. Nobody can come back from the grave. So I'm not going to see. But the curiosity, some say, I'm going. And when they went, they got blessed. With a new heavenly language that we call the Holy Ghost.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
And see, and that's what I'm talking about. That's that kind of thing. And that, and again, that comes to that. That's why we maybe, and that's why we got these parties that we have that mm-hmm. you know, that mindset where we have the haves and the have-nots.
Yes.
You know,
and then, Ms. Carol, I thought about something that she said about Wendy, mother, being a single-parent mother. And by the time Wendy was 19, she found herself in that same way and living in the trailer home, no matter how well-to-do. But when you were talking about that and sharing her history, the Lord gave me a quick flashback of myself. That when I was going through breast cancer, when he sent the king to my door and the way he found me, bald-headed and all, not a lick of hair on my head, but he didn't see me. And that rich man didn't see Wendy. He saw her heart.
Yeah.
All right.
Just like when the king came to my door, he didn't see my condition. He saw my heart.
Now.
So why men is chopping her at the bits on what they saw, what they see on the outside? At least the rich man came along and saw the goodness on the inside.
Hallelujah, she got
what
her
am
boy.
I saying? He may have been rich, but it didn't stop him from going beyond the trailer park.
Now.
That's the conservative. Because conservative, I'm going to stop at the gate. Oh, I didn't notice where she lived. I think I'm at the wrong place. But he didn't let her trailer house stop him because he saw something in her, whether it lasted or not, but he still saw beyond the trailer park or the trailer home. He saw her. And I think if we would get busy looking at each other through the eyes of Christ, we would see the real us.
Yeah.
And not what we see on the outside in the flesh.
That's right.
So as we prepare to vote, those are the eyes that I tell the Lord, I'm looking through your eyes. Which way do I go? What would you have me to do? Let me hear what I need to hear that's going to bear witness in my spirit that's the person I need to vote for.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Because we already know they can talk a good game. They can line it all up all day long. And when they get in office, they forget about everything they've said.
Everything.
Everything. It just goes right out the window. Time to sit down. Ooh. Oh, I don't recall. Let me rewind.
I don't recall.
There you are.
And video don't lie.
No. Thank God for them.
Amen.
Okay. And
amen.
Ooh, that was good to me.
Okay. Well, I have certainly enjoyed this topic tonight. It has been most marvelous and wonderful, our discussion tonight. We're down to our last 9 minutes, and I was wondering if any of our panel members or any of our listeners have any questions or comments or finals opinions or comments that they would like to make tonight before we go into our final few minutes of the show.
Well, I'm Mother Hill. I am back for a while anyway, but I don't have a comment because I'm coming in late and I wasn't in on the discussion. But my health is getting better and I'm not taking the medication anymore. So
right.
I get more aware that I can cut on and commentate.
Okay, wonderful,
okay.
Mother Hill.
Wonderful.
Thank you so much for joining us. Even though you weren't getting to the conversation tonight, we were just talking about a little politics tonight, about the candidates, the conservatives, the liberals, the Republicans, and all of that. And we were just enlightening our listening audiences on some of the things that we needed to be concerned about during our voting periods and times and the people that we needed to vote for. Wendy Davis, as Carol has told us, that is a very good candidate for us, and she will stand
Governor,
up for us.
Yes.
And the things that we need to be concerned about, she has our back.
Is she the one she the one running for governor?
Yes, ma'am, she is.
Okay.
All right. So that's what we've been talking about tonight.
Mm-hmm.
So we are down to our last 7 minutes, and I wanted to go ahead and let Carol give us her closing remarks, or Minister Henderson, if you have anything that you'd like to add, or Beverly, you, anybody would like to add anything within these last few minutes, and then I have a couple of announcements to make. So go ahead.
Well, I'll finish now. Let Minister Henderson finish up, because you know she's gonna finish it good. So let me just drop this on.
I'm done.
Let me just drop that. If you're curious about or have any questions, you can go to www.wendydavistexas.com and find out any information about her and her platform. It's very simple and easy to read and understand, and she's speaking directly to the people. It's not over our heads and everything, because I know the politics, you know, let me tell you, I'm in the political science class. My head hurt every single day. But I'm just going to say that you can go to www.wendydavistexas.com, and I was so glad I got there. I said, "See, she just said she's just keeping it straight and real. That's all I need, you know." And see some of the issues that you talk about. More importantly, though, just all women out there, just remember that there are some issues out there that concern us, that affect us, and that we need to be conscientious of, that warrants us to get up and go down there and push that lever and say, you know, well, I'm going to vote for this person because this person is standing up for things that are important to us and things that's going to affect us and our children and our lives and things in the long run. I mean, it is what it is. I mean, and we just have to remember that, and I'll tell you, I've gone on what I call civil rights pilgrimages, and I've met the foot soldiers who were beaten and thrown in jail and spat upon for our rights to vote. I
okay.
never take it for granted. I never take it for granted. I don't take it in vain. When I vote for myself. I vote for those people who fought for me for the right to vote. I vote for the right of my children that's coming behind
yep.
us and our generation that's
okay.
coming behind us. So it is important for us to vote no matter what. But if we as women need to realize that, I mean, really a large part of our vote got President Obama elected as President of the United
Correct.
States, more women for
mm-hmm.
him than anyone. We have the power of the vote as a
yes,
women.
We do.
We can push that button and we can make a difference. So by all means, you know, Wendy Davis is just a stepping stone, and a lot of other
yes.
women out there
are getting into the political arena, that we can go out and support, and that's just the beginning. And then perhaps, ladies, together, maybe we will get our first lady president and show them that we can run the most powerful country in the world, and we're not too emotional to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
mm-hmm.
we need to push the button. We can push the button. If we don't need to push the button to talk about it, we can do that too.
And if we have to pick up the red phone, we can do that too.
Amen. Well, thank you, ladies, for joining us tonight. We thank you for this conversation on the political aspects of what we need to be concerned about. Carol, thank you for your research. Thank you for giving us the information that you've given us tonight.
Yes.
We've had a very wonderful show. I've enjoyed this tremendously.
Wonderful topic, yes.
Thank you so much, Minister Henderson, for joining us, and all
That's
our
pleasure.
Other listeners and callers on the line tonight. If you have any questions, we'll be back next Monday night. If you want to call at 310-982-4126 and join us on next Monday night, we are going to have another very good show for you. It's going to give you some information on how to become your own business or join a business that's currently growing. We've got some people lined up. So join us again on next Monday night here at 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock, and we will talk with you then. So have a good week. I want to give a little announcement. First of all, Carol, you didn't remind them to vote tomorrow. At your,
at
your voting polls.
That's right.
At 7 o'clock in the morning. Tomorrow, March the 4th.
Okay, I had forgotten.
Okay.
I
have
my card right here.
Yeah, go on your lunch break. It's the law. They have to let you go vote. Go on over there and push the button, and we get Wendy up here. We can Hillary be our next, and we're going to show these men that, oh, yes, we can.
Yes, we can. Yes.
All right. And I'm so
glad I don't have to get out the car to vote because I'm not able to walk, and they come right out to the car and let me vote from there.
All right. And also, let me make this quick announcement before we go. Those of you who are not busy, at 8 o'clock on Saturday morning, March the 8th, this coming Saturday, come and join the Mighty Shady Grove Primitive Baptist Church in honor of their pastor and wife's 21st anniversary. We will be having a breakfast with the Morgans. For a minimal fee of $10, you can get all you can eat from 8 until. That's going to be at 4802 Burma Road. That's in Dallas, Texas, 75216. If you need to Google it, or if you need to Mapscope it or navigate, go ahead and come on down to the Mighty Shady Grove Primitive Baptist Church at 4802 Burma Road. Also, this is from 8 a.m. until all the food is gone.
All right.
And also, then we will be having on the next Saturday, March the 15th, we will have a Purse and More auction. We will be auctioning off designer bags, different other items for a minimum fee of $10. You come in and register and get your ticket, and then you get we are using play money, and you buy as much play money as you want to buy afterwards, and you bid on the purses or whatever else is up there to bid on, and it's just going to be a fun time for all. We have lots of fun when we do the auction. So y'all come on down to the Mighty Shady Grove if you're not busy on March the 8th or March the 15th. The auction starts at 1 on March the 15th. The breakfast starts at 8 on March the 8th. So please join us if you're available and you want to come down and fellowship with us. Okay? So
wonderful.
we're going to have a closing prayer in Jesus' name with bowed heads. Dear God, we thank you. We thank you for this opportunity tonight, dear God. Father, we thank you for the women of God that joined us tonight and gave us the information that we need to be able to continue to live this life that you have given us. Dear God, we ask that fondest blessings on Carol for giving us the information.
We ask
fondest blessings on Minister Henderson for joining us and giving us her input and information on our topic tonight. We thank you for Beverly for joining us and Mother Hill and the other caller. God, we just ask you to be with us all, be with the sisters that were listening tonight that didn't call in or didn't ask any questions, but we just thank you for their participation and their support tonight, dear God. Father, we ask that the women get out and vote on tomorrow so that we can make a difference and a change in the way that we live our lives and the people that are governing us. Father, again, we thank you for the opportunity. We thank you for the love that we share among each other. And we thank you for the success of this show, dear God. Father, we ask that you continue to lead and guide us and keep us in your will and in your way. Help us to be the women that you have called us to be, dear God. Bless us as only you can, and we will be glad to give you the thanks and the glory that you so desire, God, because you are so worthy to be praised. And, Father, we just thank you tonight. Father, please keep us, lead us, guide us, and help us to be who you have us to be, the women that you want us to be, dear God. Help us show you through ourselves. Let us see others through your sights, dear God, and we'll be so happy to give you the praise and the honor, God, and the glory. In Jesus' name we pray, thank you, and amen. Thank you, ladies. God bless you. Y'all have a good week, and we will be talking later.
Thank you, and hello, everybody.
Good night, everyone.
Hello, Mother. Good night.
Okay,
bye-bye.
Bye-bye.